Check one, check two. All right. So who's ready for some Blood Cult Jungle Techno then, huh? Yes, you know what I'm talking about. Time for the Mad P. And you can't talk about Mad P without talking about Top Buzz. You can't talk about Top Buzz without Jason K. So first up, before we get chatting to Mad P, I want to acknowledge the legacy that Jason K has left for us all to enjoy for the rest of our time here. Since he left us in March, not only a powerhouse in the hardcore jungle and drum and bass scene, but also in the UK garage scene. His legacy touched many, many people. I only got to know him a little bit before his untimely passing, and he was just an absolute gentleman, an absolute scholar. I know many, many people have said the same thing, reading all those comments. You know, you really get to feel like you know someone, and it really kind of just had an impact as to how I took him. You know, he was always willing to help people. And so this is going to be dedicated to Jason. So without further ado, I want to bring on my guest, Mad P. This has been a long time coming. Been dying to talk to this guy for a long, long time. Probably since January 1992, when I first heard their set going into Fantasia, takes you into 92, which, as you know, people know me that listen to the show know that I talk about that set all the time. And, you know, that was just one of many, many instances where Top Buzz ruled the world, right? And yes, there are going to be loads of Top Buzz puns throughout this stream. Patrick, yes. Mad P, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
All right, Jay. We got everybody. Respect.
We got all people in the crew, mate. So listen, thanks for taking the time out to come and have a chat with me. I'd love to hear really from your story when music first touched you, right? Do you have like an early memory where you heard a song or an album or something that kind of got you interested, you know, into music?
I'll tell it like it is, you know what I mean? Like I'll tell everybody else is like, first time I met the music, ever heard a beat, was at Everson Allen's sister's birthday party he was playing at. He was DJing, him and Mark. I didn't know him. I went with my wife to be. And I heard the music there. And I danced to it because I love music. So I danced to it. I thought, wow. And the funny thing what happened then, the following week, I got an invite to Manchester, their carnival up there. And my wife comes running over me because I was in the reggae tent. She comes running over me and she goes, Pat, come and listen to this music. Come and listen. I want to be creeped underneath the tent and everything, man. I went in there. It was like, wow. Smoke screens, the works, mate. You know what I mean? I was instantly converted. It's so funny. You know what I mean? My travel, it took me through. Camden Palace was where I got like my first hookup into the scene from the promoter from Heavens or Raid or Land of Oz, what you wanted to call it them days, and that was 88, 89, yeah. And that's where I met him, and he invited me down. And I said, I'm bringing my missus, and we never looked back. No, I've never looked back, never.
Wow, so, that's quite an introduction into it, and that's crazy, right? That it was through Everson Allen as the
through Everson
the
Allen,
as well.
Yeah, as yeah. The link, yeah. So I know them that's that long, and people go. You know, when the people try to compare us and all that, we just laugh at, okay, we're best mates. Mark is round the corner from me. He's the nearest person that I know in the racing to my house is Mark. That's how close we are.
Yeah. Yeah. And another pair of absolute legends, though, too. Well, it's interesting, right? Because, you know, from like, I was fortunate enough to be there back in the day as a raver, going to all the different places, right? And, you know, you always had your kind of favorite DJs and MCs and events and nights and what have you. But, you know, you as part of Top Buzz and Everson Allen as part of Rat Pack, you both guys really stood out because actually you didn't really get DJ MC combos that were in the scene. And also there were a few rubbish MCs back in the day. There were a few that weren't that great and there were a few that were standout, right? You know, for me, you know, people like Moose, Joe Peng, GQ, and then obviously yourself in there. So how, like, you know, with that kind of combo, how did, at this point that you'd met Everson, did you know, like, Jason, did you, was Top Buzz, like, all you guys were together at that point?
Nah. Jason went about, I met Jason shortly afterwards. I knew Mikey, but I didn't know Jason.
Okay.
So I met after I went to his party. Yeah, I met Jason like just after that. Just not too long after that, I met Jason. I met him in Heaven's or whatever you want to call it.
The rage night.
Yeah, we met him in the rave. Yeah, we met him. But it was before, because Rage come afterwards, didn't it? It was Land of Oz, Heavens, and you get what I'm saying. I think it was another name floating about at the time. But it was in there. We met him in there.
Yeah.
So me and Mikey met him in there.
Yeah, okay. Mm. So look, I just before we actually go down, actually, I'm quite interested. You saying like at that event, at one of the events, you was in the reggae tent. So, you know, reggae was obviously a big part of your life. Let's talk a little bit of that, boy, that before we get into the late 80s, early 90s. How did you first kind of get into the reggae sounds?
Right, listen. It's 52 years. I've been in this game. Yeah, I started DJing at 12. Yeah, I'm still here. Started DJing at 12. My dad's sound, he made me stay out too late, you know what I mean? It's got worse and worse, and I've always had a sound. So after I left at school, I was influenced by my school sound, Rebel Hi-Fi. You get what I'm saying? The gang of us, we had our own sounds, we used to do parties and all that. It was a progression. Then I went up to another bigger sound, you know what I mean? Yeah, and then I met Mikey. I joined up with Mikey after that full sound. And he was like we was like rear groove, disco, all that sort of stuff, you know, keeping all them house parties till about, you know, from 10 o'clock Saturday night till 10 o'clock Sunday night, you know what I mean? All that, it was long. So I spent 5 years with Mikey there. And then there's a lot of reggae influence, a lot of rear groove, the disco. We played everything because it was very popular. Yeah, it was very popular. We were Funky Express. It was very popular. And then I met a mate at a party, at one of them parties, and he goes, I was laughing at him because he was off his tip. I didn't know that then, but he was off his tip. We was just laughing at him. Yeah, he goes, oh, I'm gonna take you somewhere. I'm gonna take you somewhere. You won't laugh at me again. He was right. He took me to Heaven's or wherever it is. We bumped in the hip hop side of things. Yeah, and then paid the doorman in the middle an extra tenner or something to get us in the rave. But they weren't letting us in the front door. You get what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's why I was lucky because I got in there, I was getting like that, and I met the guy, the promoter in Camden, sat down with him and got my links, you know what I mean? And stuff, yeah. So I've been influenced. I've been playing music for a long, 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 long time. I've been involved with music a long, long time. Yeah, still the old fossil's still here.
Mate, we ain't getting rid of that easy.
Yeah, can't. I've got too much to say. You know what I mean, Jay?
Well, listen, that's an interesting point, right? So I didn't realise that you'd started off as a DJ. So, so obviously through like your dad's sound system and the DJing. So, tell me a little bit more about that little journey. That's interesting.
My dad, as you know, I started off playing like in the local pub, it's called the Swan, you know what I mean? On a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you know what I mean? But I didn't mind. I was a little kid. I was like, I'm 15 when I was playing there. And I was be out all time tonight, you know what I mean? And stuff like that. You know, my dad gave me a lot of squeeze, you know what I mean? Because I was playing his son and all that. And you get all stuff. I was going to the blues and all that. I do it all, you know what I mean? And but then as I grew older, you know, like I said, I switched to my friends. We wanted to do our own thing. You get what I'm saying? But my dad was a big influence, man. He teach me regular. Teach me quality of sound. And you know what I mean? It was always up and down, going Birmingham, you know, getting the valve amplifiers and all that stuff. You get what I'm saying? Them big old everything struggling with it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Dad was through hell with that sound. You know what I mean? But like, it used to be in my bedroom part of it. So, you know, I was turning and I've got like 1,000 watts licking out. No problem, mate. You know what I mean? Getting ready to go to school. You know what I mean? Yes, it was all good. You know what I mean? But, yeah, he was a big influence on my sound system, though. You know what I mean?
So what was
the love of music. You know what I mean?
Right. Mm. So what was your dad's role in this sound system? Was he on the mic? Was he behind a deck?
No, my dad's a selector.
He's a selector. My dad was a selector, right.
Now, we had a... You know, the friends, and I've frozen here, you know. we've had all the other friends doing the mic work. You get what I'm saying? Like, I never used to ask to select as well. I didn't do mic work. I didn't do mic work at all. Not until
At this time, are you kind of listening to some of the MCs and the guys on the mic and thinking maybe, or are you just like, you'll do my thing, I'm doing my thing?
I've been in the game so long. I've been in the game so long. After 8 bars, I know if he's good or not. You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, the one thing I've kept is that I don't business. I don't worry about other MCs. I worry about myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
My bars and what I do. You get what I'm saying? There's good MCs out there, there's not. You know what I mean? But like, I just concentrate on myself. I ain't in no politics or nothing. You know what I mean? I just let my lyrics talk. You get what I'm saying? And that's good enough for me. You know what I mean? So that's me. So I kept that policy that don't worry about other people and MC, what people say. I know what I can do, and the people, the public, will know what I can do. And let them decide. You get what I'm saying? But there's some good, I've got some good friends. I've got some what I like. Obviously. There's a few. You know what I mean?
So when did you start kind of getting, was there a transition from DJ to MC? Like, talk us through how
that part of... Right. The funk, when I got to Funky Express stage, I had to be on the mic. I had to do rare groove and soul. I had to MC over that. I didn't MC over reggae. You get what I'm saying? I had to do everything else but the reggae. You get what I'm saying? So today I actually had my first lyric book. I had it out today. I posted it on my page. Yeah. My first lyric book that comes from Funky Express.
Wow.
Yeah.
What year is that?
That's like going up to, say, 82 to 88. I slipped out and said, Mikey, you got to switch, mate. You got to come to this new thing, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. Told him where to go. He got in. He come and met me late and he hugged me. Funky Express was history. You know what I mean? The rest was history. So, yeah. So that's what I learned to rap over the soul. Yeah. So when it come to this acid house thing, it was them days, acid house, I still wanted to DJ, didn't I? Because obviously I've been DJing and all that, you know what I mean, as well. Because I still used to play the music in Funky Express, the reggae, old time. But I didn't chat. And I wanted to DJ still. I bought decks and everything, I had everything. But I couldn't mix the same up, you know, backside. I couldn't mix. I did get it in the end, but it took me longer than I thought. You know what I mean? But I had my decks and everything. And was a bit embarrassed because I was clanging and all that. You get what I'm saying? I said, don't worry. If I don't get it by next week, I'm just going to drop this and just pick up the mic. You know what I mean? And that's the best thing that happened to Top Buzz.
Yeah.
That I clanged. Yeah. That I was clanging.
So this is you guys got together in 88, right? Is
that 88 back? 88, 89.
Okay.
88, 89 and stuff. We got together early, and
we
met Jason at a club. You know what I mean? And I was the only one DJing at the time. I was DJing with my brother because I joined up with my brother as well. I forgot to tell you in them stages, dear. Fantastic IB for Paul.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah, we do Fantastic IB for, you know, King's Cross, all them places, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Ladbroke Grove. We had some big raves. We had some massive raves. Massive. So I have to get a little DJ slot in there, you know what I mean? Which worked if I can get away with it a bit. You know what I mean? But I have to do it there. You know what I mean? And I played on a radio station as well.
Nice.
RJR.
What station it was? RJR.
RJR, yeah. It was a reggae station. And I've gone there with this acid music. And I swear down, you know, Sunday Rise and Peace show, a Mama show, the Saturday afternoon one, they were the best shows in London, mate. They were the best shows. Yeah, I was live, man. I had a studio. I come back from the rave. You know what I mean? Gone straight in the studio up Manor House there, you know what I mean? On a Sunday afternoon. We called it the Rise and Peace show, man. It was a very good show. Because I had bangers. You get what I'm saying? I could get bangers and all that. You get what I'm saying? Because I had affiliation with the black market record shop, City Sounds, I forgot the one over Ealing, and I also had Music Power.
Okay,
I was actually serving up in Music Power, serving up the records. You get what I'm saying, with Chris?
Yeah.
And stuff, you know what I mean? And Nick and them, not. They helped me. They helped the buzz.
Yeah, nice. That's mad. I didn't.
Yeah,
I didn't
know it was that. Mad. It's yeah. Mad. I met all the DJs, promoters there. You get what I'm saying? So I was in a good spot. You know what I mean? I was in this, and Jason used to be up West End getting the records and had getting his bring-ins, and I mean, Mike would be at the other one. You know what I mean? And we're just playing records. They go, oh, Patrick, can you give this to Jay? I was like, yeah, of course. You get what I'm saying?
Nice.
Well, and then that's... people want to see the records.
Yeah.
I was getting all the bangers.
Yeah. And this is the thing, right? You know, the one thing that Top Buzz for me, and I'm sure for many, many people that stood out, is that you guys were very different. What everyone else is doing. Yes, there was a few bits of tunes that were going around in the circuit, but actually the sets that Top Buzz were doing were stand out. Like, what behind the scenes, like, were you guys just kind of playing what you felt and there was great synergy? Was there a specific kind of approach to it? What was the thinking with you guys back then?
It was the beats, Jay. It's the beats. We liked that jungle, ragga's kind of element to the technology, techno noises and stuff like that. We liked it. Once we felt the beat, we used to ride the rhythm, and you get what I'm saying? We could do our little moves. And we used to be kind of selfish in that way. So we used to actually paint for ourselves, if you can think about it. You get what I'm saying? Because we just like different. We want, J-Man started brain. We just like different. You know what I mean? We just like different.
Yeah.
Different. We like the different tunes. You know what I mean? But yeah. with beats, you had to have beats. You get what I'm saying? And darkness later on in, you know what I mean? When you switch it up to darkness as well. You get what I'm saying? It's all about the rhythm and the beat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, you know, you guys are well credited, right, with starting that jungle techno sound and being the champions and pioneers of that sound, right? And, you know, you go back to many of your sets from early days to whatever, and there is consistency in what you guys have done. So
what we're playing,
for sure. So look, I want to go back a little bit to, do you remember like the first kind of like gig that you guys did as Top Buzz together? Do you remember it?
I just called a girl's name about 20 minutes ago before we come on. Somebody phoned me and asked me, remind me about it. It's a girl called Kathy, and we've done it up opposite Astoria. I was like, so you give us our first gig, professional gig.
And was that Astoria? What was that for? Like, was it one of the, no, it wouldn't have been Orange then. It would have been,
no, it was she was just a smaller promotion. See, you know,
yeah,
been trying to get off the ground. But we became friends in the rave scene, and she said she fancied doing a night, and she put us on the bill. Because we were trying, you know, get our name out there, sort of thing.
And talk about, so when was there a time where you guys felt, right, we've made it, we're doing it now? Do you remember, was there a certain gig or moment where all that energy and effort you guys have put in, you're like, yeah, we're on the right track now?
You know, something hit us in the early days when we thought we knew we was doing well. It's like we play a story, and when you bust like a corner and you come around to the story, it's got the DJ's name up in lights at the top of it. You get what I'm saying? So when you bust that corner one Saturday, you just saw Top Buzz.
That's the moment.
That's the moment for me and Jason. We always remember that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was because it's an old cinema, right? Like, I remember.
Yeah, that's right. I
went there many times in 91 and 92, and I've got some very fond memories, and also a lot of missing memories from that place. But
now that place is amazing. It was amazing. It was a very good club. Very good club. One of the best.
Crawling into Busby's at 5:00 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Sometimes we'd be up there, we used to go, because when I first started going, it used to be the car park. at the after party. There used to be a car park. Yeah. And we was going there and then dance till morning, till Monday morning or whatever.
So tell me, where did the name Top Buzz come from?
In the early days, we was walking, one of us, we were just ravers, I think. Yeah, we were just ravers. We was all talking, became friends with Jason. We were just ravers. And as we decided, about the time we decided to go DJ, someone came up with the name of Walking Across the Clapham Common. It was our manager, Monty, I think. He said, he's on a Top Buzz. And we just said, wow, we love that.
That would do.
That would do. You know what I mean? That one would do. So Monty's the one who gave that, find that name for us. And we just jumped on it. Yeah. And as a big shout out as well, in that era, is who helps us get off the ground was MC Chalky White. Because he used to be our, what we named him the Bandulu manager. He actually used to throw DJs off the deck to put us on.
Jesus.
Yeah, seriously. That's Chalky White, mate. The same old Chalky, well, I love him to bits.
And that's, he's a big lad, mention, man.
He literally threw him off the decks, man. I feel a bit embarrassed some of the time. No, seriously, I did. Get off. My boys are on now, get off.
Jesus.
Yeah, man. Fella, man. I've got enough time for jokes.
Oh, he's a top guy. You know what? I still haven't ever met him. I've been around many people in circles.
Don't lie.
Seriously, I've never had the honor of meeting him yet. I've heard so many stories about him. I believe that,
Jay.
Yeah. Like, I've known LSD for like 2 decades. And obviously, Roy started out with him late 80s,
doing their nights and Stevie White and all them people. You know what I mean?
I know our paths will cross. And when I do,
I find that hard to believe, you know, because he knows everybody. Chalky's met everybody.
Well,
a child, not a granny that don't know Chalky. You know what I mean? He's done well, man. I love him for that.
Well, I tell you what, if I'm DJing and he's MCing there, I'm going to handcuff myself to the deck so he can't throw me off.
Chalky, man. Yeah, he was good. That was good for us, man. That was good for us. Sorry, Jay, I just hit the thing.
Sorry, right, lad. No worries.
Sorry, everybody.
Sorry, don't worry.
I just hit the thing, man. Chalky just made me go fish. I'm back.
Hopefully that's
back. Yeah, I'm back. Sorry about that, everybody.
That's all right, don't worry.
Stand, I've got the thing on.
I thought that was Chalky to come and throw your tablet off the table Jay now.
Yeah.
Nice, mate. So listen,
I wish it was on the table. I've got it on the mics, man.
It feels like we're kind of getting to like sort of 90, 90, 91. So at what point are you, I suppose it's kind of like 91 when you guys are like, that's it, like you're in like mad demand and flying all over the country, right?
Now the reason 91, that's a new era. That's where we've gone north. We've gone up to north, and I have to mention them because they're a big part of our history.
Yeah.
And we met Amnesia House. We were at Amnesia House, Neville Fivey, Bam Bam, Mickey Linus, all them people, you know what I mean? They're right, the core of Coventry, I call them, you know what I mean? And they took us under our... They give us a job because we gave them a tape outside Rage or Land of Wolves. Yeah, we give them a tape, and Nev took it away with him, and they had a listen to it and they liked it and they said and they booked us, and we had to go up to Ryton. It's one of their early ones, you know what I mean, one of their big early ones. It was good, it was very good, and it was only me and Jason done the job because Mikey was booked on a holiday, and we went up there and we smashed it. They put us on and then they took us off. Because no, you lot got to play later, mate. You know what I mean? You lot got to play later. Yeah. They took us off. They will tell you, they took us off. So play 2 tunes and now get off. We put you on later. You know what I mean? Then days it was like that, wasn't it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You guys freestyle on the decks, you know what I mean? And so they put us on, and we became friends. You get what I'm saying? And the rest is history with them.
Yeah.
The rest is number one promotion.
Did you find that, so when you talk about the North, did you find that, that musically, like, your sound was kind of connecting more up North than it was, like, say, in London or South Coast?
No. We done all right in London. London sorted us out, seriously, because we were playing a lot, and we had started to create our style of play, because we were still playing a bit of odd stuff what other people weren't playing. You get what I'm saying? On different ways, yeah. And or different cuts of it. You get what I'm saying? Some people play certain cuts of a record, some won't. You get what I'm saying? But we play the obscure one. You get what I'm saying? But we're setting our pattern. You get what I'm saying? We're setting our pattern. And, yeah. Just basically how it was, you know what I mean?
Yeah, fair enough. All right. Mm. So what are some of the kind of events like throughout 91 that kind of stand out for you? And you know where this is leading, but I'll wait until the end of 91.
Listen, you see, in the, you know, around the country, you know, out of London, they started popping up, like, you know, promotions, boom, boom, boom. And there was like, there was 91, they started coming out. You know, the Pandemoniums, you get what I'm saying? The Obsessions, the starts with a P, I forgot their name, man. But all the big ones started coming out.
Oh, Perception. You know what I mean?
Perceptions and things like that, you get what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm saying, Walton and his boys, them up in Birmingham with their stuff, you get what I'm saying? It was like, good. They came out, so it was very busy. It was very, very busy. Go on.
And I'm always intrigued, right, with how this was all managed. Because obviously now you've got email, there's booking managers, there's social media, right?
And phones.
So back then, it was just your phone at your mum's house or whatever, right? How are you guys kind of dealing with all the calls and the bookings and managing all that?
When we first started out, we just done it. Like in London, we just done it like friends on the circuit, people, the promoters, everybody was raving together them times. They're hard, you get what I'm saying? So it wasn't hard to see a promoter to get a job, if you get what I'm saying, to say they can book you, you know what I mean? But like, then we took on Carl Cox's company.
Oh, do you know what someone was?
With Carl Cox, and what's the girl?
Sarah, was it Sarah?
No, Sarah was Groove Riders, then one with Maxine. Maxine, yeah, with Maxine. Bradshaw, is it? Maxine, yeah. And we hooked up with them. We went down to see them all, and then the car was John Seduction, Colin Dell, and people like that. And it was about five of us, you know what I mean? But she done all right for us. And Carl, because it was his agency as well. You get what I'm saying? They done all right.
I've just finished reading Carl Cox's book. I'll remember that now.
Yeah, Carl Cox, man.
I mean, what a legend, man. Because it's actually crazy to think that he was playing at Dreamscapes and DMC
It was everywhere, man. To be quite honest, Jay, you know what? We had a lot of different styles of music as well in the 110. Or the one warehouse. And I've kind of preferred that.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of preferred it. I'd like to hear the different styles of every music. Because it was all part of the scene. So when they started like, drum and bass tent, you know, old school tent, you know what I mean? It's still good, but like, I did like the mix. That's how we met it. You get what I'm saying? Sasha here and there, you get what I'm saying? John Digweed, you know, like, all mix up. I used to like that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, actually, I've got an old tape, one of the tapes I love is Sashi with Joe Peng, MC.
Joe Peng chatting to Sasha. All that was involved, mate. Seriously.
Yeah,
no. Them days were good. 91 was good. But like I said, all the promotions come out and the rave... It just was getting bigger, innit? Just getting bigger. 91 is getting big now. Yeah. Every Tom, Dick and Harry was on this thing, you get what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Because, you know, the convoys, all them days were good. That's 91, you know what I mean? Driving around the country, looking for the rave and all that. It's all good. It was good. Yeah. And the music was it was that Belgium stuff, wasn't it, that year really? Started coming
yeah,
in, wasn't it?
You know, yeah, there's a lot of kind of bleeps, you know, breakbeat was becoming a lot more dominant, you know, in the sound, right? You know, and you were getting that real nice mix of like 4/4 beats and breakbeats. You know, there's a lot of good stuff there. So look, what about, you know, my first kind of raving experience was, I think it was like September, October 91 down at Stearns. And I went down there quite a few times. I've tried to rack my brains. I remember seeing Moby and Colin Dale, but my memories of that place are like from walking in there and then waking up in the car in the morning. Like, I can't remember. But I remember seeing you guys on the bill a lot of times. You know.
We played there a lot for Mensa, man. There's a good friend of ours. God rest in peace. You know what I mean? Mensa, yeah. That was a nice club, you know. Seriously, that was a good club. Yeah, it was a very good club, Stearns. I'm not going to lie. I did enjoy it. But it's only that it was way out, you know what I mean? You got to make sure you ain't got another job afterwards. When you get there, you're going to stay. You know what I mean?
Good club. No, it was a real magical place. So look, I kind of want to lead up to your set at Fantasia Takes You Into 92. I ain't gonna lie, I'm obsessed with that set, right? I sent you that blog, I've written a whole thing, I've done tributes on
I've seen it, James.
All kinds
Respect,
of stuff.
Brother.
Thank you very much. And the track list for me was the most important thing, right? Because there's a lot of amazing websites out there that have got the track list, and some of them I was like, no, that's not right. So I ended up, two things. One, I bought every record. One, I had to find the exact tracks that were played and buy them. And I didn't have as many as I thought I had. And several hundred pounds later, I'm now the proud owner of every record that was played in that set. But I just wanted to have a definitive truth out there because I know it's such a coveted set. Like, I'm not the, you know, there are thousands of people that look at that set as such a defining moment in music. You know, in my head, it's like the official birth of jungle techno. You know, I've just said that. No one else has said that. But for me, you know, I've kind of gelled with that set so much.
It was, definitely.
I want to get inside your head for that whole day. I want to understand what you guys were thinking. It's New Year's Eve. It's the afternoon.
Was it? Oh, God.
I want to go there, mate. I want to go there.
Jay, I think we had about 3 or 4 jobs before that one, you know. I think we've done about 3 or 4 jobs before we get to Fantasia. That was last port of call that day.
Yeah, you definitely did Big Bad Head and Rain Dance because, you know.
All right, was that the night? Was that the night? Was that the night? All right, so we've done, I can tell you exactly now, we've done 1, 2 before that, blew out one and come to Fantasia. We blew out Mansfield. We went to Liverpool. Then we went to Big Bad Head. And then we come down to Fantasia. We blew out Mansfield in the middle because we couldn't do it. It was impossible. I think that's the only time we ever blew out a job, you know. I swear. I was blown out another one before. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We got bribed. I'll be honest with you. We got bribed. We got offered stupid money to cancel what we was doing. You know what I mean? We took it. You know what I mean? So it's twice we've blown out people. But apart from that, we do every job.
We did every job.
I had 3 couple of jobs before that, so I was tired when we got there. We was tired, I think it could have been foggy and all that that night as well, you know what I mean? I was tired, but we got there, and the rest is history, isn't it? That's it, man. Even I like it.
So how are you, like, I'm intrigued, right? Because now when you go to a Boomtown or Glastonbury or whatever it is, right, there's a special artist entrance and someone's giving you this and you go there and it's all, you know, it's all very well organised. But what was it like back then? Was it just like, shit, we're just dumping our car in the middle of a field and let's drag a couple of record boxes and go figure it out?
Yeah. They did get the parking sorted out. It was a bit random back in early, but they got it sorted. They had to. You had to have the fuels to park the cars. You get what I'm saying? Because it was too big. And all this random thing, people were losing their cars. You know, you come out the rave and nobody ain't got a car because they parked it up randomly. You get what I'm saying? A lot of that was going on. You get what I'm saying? So they had promotions had to sort out the parking for the people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we needed it. It wasn't nice. You come out and you ain't got no car. Not good. Not good. So they sorted it. And I'm glad they sorted that one.
And yeah, cars there. Because, you know, a couple of snowballs later, mate, and you don't know where you're going. Right?
You don't know where you're going. You know what I mean? People walk around in ages looking for their car.
So what, so tell me, like, you know, Rain Dance and Fantasia that night must have been, you know, a similar kind of bump and a lot of people. Like, what was your feeling and takeaway from those two nights?
That's the night I cuss off London, isn't it?
That wasn't that night. No, you did cuss off some guy in an Arsenal t-shirt in the crowd. No, it was that night.
No. It was that big bad head.
Oh, right, that one, right.
That big bad head before I come down to Fantasia. Yeah. I cussed off Londoners because they wrote up a nasty bit of thing about the six worst DJs in England, are like Fabio Groovevider, Mickey Finn, Carl Cox, Top Buzz, and something else. I said, fuck you. You know, you got a clue. This is the heartbeat of the rave scene you're talking about here, mate. You know what I mean? So it wasn't Mixed Mag, it was some other magazine and thing, and I slagged them off. So I said, get the fuck out of the tent. You get what I'm saying? I was a fully fledged I was a Midland by now because I was living in Birmingham at one point.
Okay.
Yeah, I went to live in Chelmsley Wood for about a year.
Well, this is the problem with the press right back then, because, you know, obviously we had no internet, no nothing. And, you know, this is why I do these things, right? Because you never get to hear the stories as they're supposed to be told by the individual so that they can recount them, right? Because Music Mag, or I don't know if DJ Mag, Mix Mag or whatever that was around then, you know, even if they did talk about it, it was never positively. You know, it was kind of seen as this kind of little ugly duckling of the dance music community, right? Oh, those hardcore lot, you know, over there doing whatever. But we showed them, right? 30 years later, hardcore ain't dying, mate.
Ain't dying, mate. None of it. It's all come back. It's all rejuvenated. Old school rejuvenated, you know what I mean? And stuff, you know what I mean? I still can't get my head around the new drum and bass, but some of it is all right.
There you go. So I just want to finish up. So obviously, Fantasia takes you into 92. You guys did the last set. You know, the recording of that, you know, it's like the world dance recordings. You know, you hear the crowd almost more than the music. And I'm actually getting goosebumps. Like, just that energy and vibe. Like, tell me, what is it like to stand on that stage and do that set? What memories have you got from it?
Do you know what? I can't remember. If you get what I'm saying, it's all a miss. It's all a miss because it was all I remember was a night. It was a long night. Had a bit of Barney up in the big red end. Come down there, tired, last set. You know what I mean? And I'm sure when we got there, the crown was on the floor. I'm not 100% sure if it was that one, but I think one of them, we got there and the crown was on the floor. Knackered.
Jesus.
You know what I mean? They were battered.
Yeah.
And then we stepped up and it was like, you know, raised on the dead. They all stood up, mate. You know what I mean? So that's what I do remember. I swear it was that night. I'm positive. You know what I mean? Yeah. They were all wasted, man. I mean, we stepped in, they're all like, ooh, it's gone through and bloody smashed the place. And the iconic set you get. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think I've done a few last sets which are big.
This is my favorite thing, right? Because back then, that last set was the coveted set, right? That's the set that everybody wanted. Everyone wanted to close it down and be the last memory that everyone left with, because you know, you could have smashed the ass out of it during the middle of the night. The last DJ's taking that memory from them, then they're the one that takes it.
I wasn't a big fan of last set. I wasn't. I kind of hate it because it's the last set, especially after you've done two or three jobs of fire. You know what I mean? And then you've got to go some way out place to play the last set. But like I said,
go on. It's harder for an MC, right? Because a DJ, yeah, sure, you could be tired, but you know, you're playing a record, you know, it's mentally stressed, but you're not on show and verbally kind of communicating with everyone that's there, right?
Verbally, mate, you know what I mean? You got to say something, you stand up there with the mic, you get what I'm saying? There's no slouching, there's no shortcuts, nothing. Just got to do your thing. You know what I mean? You know, but I'll be always looking at my watch, looking at my watch. But what, Jay, so what, you got all the tunes, we might as well remix that set.
Mate, me and you. I'd be honoured, mate. Literally, I'm just reading. Anthony says, Jay, Pat, question. What about doing a live set on We Are Hardcore Fantasia 92-93? Mate, it would be my absolute honour.
Yeah, man, let's get it done, mate. Let's do it, man. The only thing, like I said before, Jay, fresh bars, but that's the way of life. You know what I mean? But the tunes will be the tunes. And that's the main thing for me. That's a good set. I love that set.
Yeah. I've written it down, mate. I've got one more thing
while I'm here. I want to go public. I have a new girlfriend now. Her name is Edwina Hurl.
Nice. Yeah, congrats, so mate.
Fan romance. So just go see what happens.
Is she here? Let's see if she's in the chat.
No, she's not. She might be in the chat having a look. I don't know, but people will see her soon.
Well, congrats! That's awesome to hear, mate. There's definitely a glow about you. So obviously,
tell me about it. Thanks, mate. Yeah, so we're a couple. Yeah.
Oh, mate, that's awesome, mate! Congratulations, man.
Thank you, man.
Well, I look forward to seeing her in the next few weeks that we cross paths.
It's really nice. We'll cross paths. Yeah, most definitely. Nice. No, she's here for the long stay. All right, mate.
Wicked. That's good. Right. Let's talk about tunes. Now, I contacted a few people just to kind of get some thoughts and stories and what have you. And I contacted Ron Wells, right? I know you guys have had some good
interviews. I
want to read out what he said to me because I think this is super sweet. So this is Ron Wells. So I just messaged a few guys just saying, listen, any stories? I'm chatting to Patrick on Monday. So Ron says, we had a blast together making those tunes. Always high spirits and jokes. Sometimes they would bring a couple of friends and Pat would rip the piss out of them, leaving us all in stitches.
Nothing's changed, Ron. Nothing has changed. I'm still ripping the ass out of my friend.
he says, I can distill our time together as relentless jokes and putting the world to rights with beats.
Eddie. Yes, man. Ron, man. Living in darkness, man.
He kind of goes on to say, look, you know, Top Buzz supported my music and chose to help me make the music they wanted to. They asked me to remix the Prodigy. They weren't with them. They could have asked anyone, but they came to me. Their support for me and my association with them will forever be cherished, man.
Thank you, Ron.
He's a top guy. I actually did an interview with him probably a couple of years ago. It was 4 hours. In total, two hours. We went in, like, it was just like, you know, it was very easy to, and there's a lot of amazing stuff that he talks about his time with you guys.
Yeah, we love music. We did really love his music, man. What he was putting out at the time, it was good.
And you know what the thing with Ron, and this is why I was really happy about doing the chat with him, is that he is one of those unsung heroes who has not got credit for all the things that he should have got credit for.
When I was doing my research,
he's got like 31 pseudonyms of different names where he's tagged up with this person, he's ghostwritten this and done whatever. So it was really nice to kind of have an opportunity to chat with him about that and, you know, set a few records straight. So let's talk about like when... What was the first kind of tune that you guys kind of worked on together? And what was the thinking? Were you like, right, we're in and out of the raves, let's start making some tunes?
It's a tune called the first time I remember what was any use, what had any, it was Raging Rockers, wasn't it?
The Raging Rockers remix.
Yeah. I think that's the kind of first tune we'd done, sort of thing. Yeah, I think it was.
Counteracting.
That was the first thing we had a go at. And then we made Living in Darkness after that.
Wow. Straight to the top.
Straight to the juggler. Living in Darkness came out of somewhere. With a guy called Neil McLennan, I think. He's American. I don't know what his surname, but he was a good producer. He was decent producer at the time. He was working with some boys.
He did a lot of the early Prodigy stuff, didn't he, Neil?
Yes. The same brother, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. So he was the one that done the original loop and, you know, helped us. We just battered it out over in Chelsea somewhere.
Because, again, you know, that tune really kind of personifies you guys as a DJ set, right? It was completely different to what anything else that was about at that time, but yet it fit in perfectly along with everything else at the time.
Yeah, it did fit in. We fit in. And the thing about it, Jay, mate, we had it for about 10 months or something.
Oh, really?
Everybody was begging that. And then we done one. They would decide to do 10 and give it to the top 10. It's kind of thing, you know what I mean? Give them a month with it and released it. You know what I mean? Yeah, we had it ages. You can only hear that at Top Buzz, mate. For ages.
But, you know, that's how it was a little bit back then. You know, dub plates were precious, right? You know, that model of kind of promoting and amplifying music and having something a little bit special that others didn't. You know, that was birth of that scene's kind of dub plate culture. Obviously, dub plate culture goes many, many years before
That's what I'm saying. It goes many years before that. We knew of it. You know what I mean? I think like, okay, you know, I have to like clip his wings sometimes. I go, don't worry. If you wasn't meant to get a copy, you get a copy. You get what I'm saying? I go, don't worry. You know what I mean? And we done all right. No, because there's a lot of politics on these dub plates and all that. I said, don't get involved. Yeah. Don't get involved. Just stay out of it, Jay. You know what I mean? If the man stands there and cuts 30 records and gives his friend, and I'll give you none. You just know that you don't give him none of yours one day. You get what I'm saying? So it was dog eat dog. But so for me, it was dog eat dog. You get what I'm saying? Because there were some dogs out there. But I said, Jay, leave it. Don't worry, mate. If it's meant to happen, if you meant to get it, you get it. You get what I'm saying? Don't worry about it. They don't want to give you records out. Nah, I couldn't bother with all that. It's rubbish.
Fair enough, man.
I remember there was one.
Well, I don't know if it was a dub player. I think it was a test press of Potential Bad Boy, Everyday Child.
All right.
Which you played. Now, to me, that sounds like a 93 tune, and it blows my mind that you guys played it like in 91. You know, and I worked with Chris Potential for a couple of years. I was doing a lot of PR for his labels, working with Yush and those guys.
You
got to give me that tune. He goes, I ain't got it. He goes, don't know where it is. Like, you know, that's lost to the wind.
Listen, I done a chat thing with my brother the other day, and I don't know if I call it Van Halen, that tune with the Van Halen sample.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And it's only then that he told me he never released it. And he only released it during the COVID, that late.
Yeah.
Big riff of Van Halen in it, man. Massive tune. He played it on the show. And it's crazy, man. You think, I thought he would have released that as because that was a big tune as far as I'm concerned. No, he didn't. He left it till COVID. But he sold a lot, obviously. Because everybody was after the tune. You know what I mean? That's people got now they got their tune, they do what they want with it, isn't it? That's what I'm saying. That's how they tell you to do what they want with it. It's their tune.
Listen, you were getting loaded with TPs from Ibiza, right? So you guys
we were doing all right in Ibiza. We had it locked, you know what I mean? Had it locked, man. Birthday presents, everything. Chris and all of them, they look after. They've even done a Chris done I think we've done Fantasia first taste with Chris. up in Ibiza Studios. He smashed it out in about 4 hours, man.
Really?
He smashed it out in about 4 hours. I think I've read the paper going, all right. You know what I mean? Jay, what are you saying, Jay? That sound good? Yeah. But you know what I mean? We actually was just sat there reading the paper and talking with Chris, and we banged out that tune. And it's a nice little tune.
I want to talk about some of the other tunes that you've done, because one that gets overlooked, just because Living in Darkness is on the A side, but The Rock. That was such a fucking, it is
aye.
An amazing track.
Do you know what? This pleases me to hear you say these things, because Jason went off them tunes kind of. I'm not saying being bad, man, but he did. You know what I mean? I say, why don't you play our tunes? They're nice. And he played, I think, he played Prodigy's one at a rave, but Prodigy's thing.
Yeah,
and he couldn't believe the response of the crowd. You know what I mean? I said, Jay, and I mean, Fabio's come up to me and goes, yeah, I like Living in Darkness, but I prefer Maintainer. You get what I'm saying? Yeah, and Billy as well. Living in Darkness, but I prefer the vocal. Yeah, you know I mean, everybody's got their own little taste of our tunes. You get what I'm saying? I've heard the comments. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because the tune we made was like, it was everywhere, wasn't it? There was different kinds of stuff. You get what I'm saying? There wasn't like a set genre or style of what was beating out. Was beating out stuff. You know what I mean? Going everywhere. I got an unfinished version of Living in Darkness.
Oh, really?
Yes. We got unfinished version of Living in Darkness, mate. Yeah. So keep that one for under lock. Yeah, I mean, we'll keep that one under lock for now, but it's unfinished. It's one of the last things I've done with Jason, musically.
Okay, nice. Wicked,
mate. We're doing it as a Kickster thing, but the tune came out all right.
Nice.
All right. Don't worry, fans. You might get some more of that. Yeah, it's a good tune. A very good tune for us, Jay. Very good tune.
Yes, yeah. It's served you guys well, right?
And
it's
served us well, man.
To have it get out there. I've got to say a quick big up to Ron Wills. I know Ron's listening.
Yes, man.
Big love.
Big love up to Ron. Yes, and my brother and Nev Hype and Alex and Louis Boys and Tor. You know what I mean? We're doing it this year. this year. And also a big shout out to Charlie TT. She'll kill me if I don't say that.
Yeah, we've seen TT, and all right,
TT. Yeah, she'll kill me.
Nice, mate. All right. So look, we went around a little bit. So look, you know, I want to talk about kind of 92, 93 and really kind of, well, we'll get into 93, but 92, look, you know, obviously by now that's it, you know, Dreamscapes and all these massive things are popping off, Sanctuary, you know, all over the place. Mm. You know, what are you guys kind of thinking as you're going into 92? Is like, you know, what's the buzz of the top buzz? That sounds dickish, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, 92 is like, we're still two men then.
Yeah,
well, we became two men, me and Jason, and we just got our heads down and say, let's smash it. You know what I mean? We're doing what we're doing. It's light. You know what I mean? We started thinking in the bigger picture. You know, like the tapes and all that stuff. You know what I mean? Coming to prominent because they was making some money off them tapes, right? They was making some proper money. You know what I mean, I know because I picked up. You know, I mean, I've done my own. You get what I'm saying? The tapes were very good. I was like concentrating on that and making more tunes, you get what I'm saying, 92. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Going through and doing our thing, you know what I mean? Like enjoying life. Yeah.
And 93, right? So that's when we start seeing like the scenes kind of merging out, right? You know, hardcore is taking, you know, one path, jungle is, you know, now willing, truly engaged. You know, what's the thought of you guys at this point? I mean, to be honest, I'm interested in this. I ask this question to everybody because You know, I feel like everyone's got their own opinion, right? And it was like, oh, you know, I went more hardcore, I didn't like jungle, went more jungle, whatever.
Yeah,
but you guys were already, you know, kind of championing a jungle sound.
So we wasn't minding the jungle. We wasn't minding the jungle. But I personally was a bit concerned about the clientele, what jungle would attract.
Yeah,
to be honest. Yeah, I mean, straight up, I thought, wow, this could be naughty times, you get what I'm saying? And some say it wasn't, some say it is, but like, we know, those that know what's going on, you get what I'm saying? But it wasn't, I was a bit apprehensive about the change of going out of hardcore into jungle, straight jungle, you know what I mean? But as you see, well, we stuck to our guns. We played jungle, played drum and bass, we played everything, but like, we stuck to our old school. If you get what I'm saying, and jungle techno, anything like that, means we was happy there. We was more happier there than going venturing out to this new jungle thing, because there's a lot of bullshit happening in the jungle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even though I wasn't in it, I know exactly what's going on. My brother was in it. I had to play a few of his raves. You get what I'm saying? And stuff to help out. You get what I'm saying? But there's a lot of crap. A lot of crap came with the jungle, and you know, his class A drugs and certain other things. You get what I'm saying? It was everywhere, but like, you know what I mean? Like, it was got a bit moody, didn't it? It got a bit moody. You know what I mean? 93, 94, it got a bit moody.
And do you know what? Before I go into that, I wanna bring up this question from Anthony Ryder, because I think I want to know the answer to this as well. Nicky Savage? Who is Nicky Savage? I'll be honest. I thought you said Mickey Savage. Mickey Savage. Da-na-na-na-na.
It is Nicky Savage.
Right, well done, Anthony. Good lad, because I got it wrong.
Nicky Savage. And I decline to talk any more about that name.
Okay, fair enough. We're done.
I actually love the girl. She's my brethren. It is a person I'm named like that. And I apologize now. I'm live on podcast, Nikki. I love you, babe. Yeah, I love you. Yeah, we've made up and everything. She hated me for years.
All right, fair enough. Babe.
Hated me. Yeah, it was done the argument. You know I mean?
So look, you know, in 93, the jungle thing was going on. But what was interesting, right, was that 94 comes round, and then you start getting like Helter Skelters and Dreamscapes, where you're getting those old school lineups again. You're getting Bookham playing like a kind of atmospheric jungle set. You're getting Groove Rider doing his thing. You're getting Dougal playing his thing, right?
Yeah.
Now, so there's that I want to talk to you about, but also for me, that was the first time that I heard you on other DJ sets outside
was
of the
it?
Bus. Yeah, you could have done it before. I was in New Zealand for the whole of 93, so you could have been doing it way before that, but that's the only time, the first time I noticed it happening.
Remember I've done Dreamscape, the early Dreamscapes.
Yes.
I was at MC there, wasn't it? For first couple, a good few before I fell out with Murray, but like, I've done a few and I came back later on as well. Dreamscape, I've done it. But then that was it until we split up.
Right.
Until we split up, then I started doing more singular work. You know what I mean?
So with those events like Dreamscape, I mean, I was lucky. I went to quite a few of them in 94, you know, and again, I love that fact that you just, you know, 1 minute it was hype, then it was LSD, then Slipknot, then Randall, you know, and different styles and flavors in one night.
Flavors in one night. Much better.
Was you, when you were down there, you were down there for the night, you were in for the long haul, right?
Yeah. No, I said, when I had to do the dreams, guys, I had to go home after the night. I had all the crew with me, innit? So, like, they'll come out for the whole night, and Top Buzz only do one set for the night, and so everybody can rave. I mean, we didn't go nowhere else. I couldn't. You know what I mean? Fair so enough. As long as Jason got to play, I was happy.
As long
as I got to do my Top Buzz set, I was happy. You know what I mean? So, with that deal.
Nice. All right. I want to dig a little bit deeper into your lyrics. and this is even going, you know, going back from well, for however long you feel this story needs to go back, right? Mm-hmm. You know, there was obviously a lot of kind of like dancehall reggae inspiration in your lyrics, mm-hmm. and you brought something mm-hmm. very different to the table than a lot of mm-hmm. other MCs at that time did. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about, you know, how that kind of came about and your inspiration for lyrics.
Remember I told you, Funky Express, I learned to chat over soul and real groove. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's not easy because there's a lot of vocals going on in places there. You get what I'm saying? But I got good at it and I got good at it and I learned to ride with them, as we say. You get what I'm saying? So my style is environmental friendly. That's what I was aiming at. You know what I mean? Because I was environment. I was different in on the soul game as well. I wasn't a regular MC. I was funny as fuck. You know, passing jokes and all that. So I've written like a talky thing, you get what I'm saying? But I still was writing some bars in there, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I learned from there. So when I come to the acid thing now and I said to decide that I'm going to pick up the mic, I just find the beat and just cracked on. You know what I mean? I just cracked on. Simple. Ride the beat, you know what I mean?
And is there like a process or something you're going through? Like how do you kind of capture lyrics? Are you seeing things you
listen, Jay?
I'm not trying to dig out your secrets.
No, I'm telling you. I don't care. I'm walking down the road and something happens, some incident or word is said, and I take that.
Yeah.
And make up the bars. Look at these. You know what I mean? I mean, that's how I do it. I don't, you know, things come in my head. And I just got my dictaphone thing on my phone with a voice note, put it down there, you get what I'm saying? And then I build around it at home when I've got time. You know what I mean? Some of these lyrics I make, they're age, some of them are old, but I just didn't finish them. And it's always got to be about life. You know, you might not think so, but when you dissect it, it's about life. Everyday life, things were everyday things. You know what I mean, some people say I'm homophobic, some people say I'm not. It's everyday life, then things around me. I want to talk about it. You know what I mean,
is that how do you feel like? Because it's a bit of an obsession of a lot of people that I know to master and remember your lyrics. I mean, I even found a website, it was jungletechno.co.uk, and they've listed literally tons and tons of your lyrics.
I see it.
Have they got it all right, or have they got some?
No, Jay, they can't get it all right. Someone's always, when they're listening to these lyrics, they're on a different planet. You get what I'm saying? Because some of the stuff they come out with to ask me, I'm just amazed. I have to ask them, what planet was you on? You know, people come up to me and say, I've got a bet with my friend. We've got a 20-pound bet. Blah, blah, you say this and I say you say that. Like, what do you say? And you know what I mean? When I tell them what I say and the one who's got it right, oh, my God. I mean, like they won the World Cup. You know what I mean? I've still got a page. I don't go on it, though, more. My lyrical page. The stuff that people come out with, what I sung. It's unbelievable. Yeah. It's unbelievable. Seriously. It's unbelievable.
And obviously, one of the most famous ones, check one, check two.
Check one, check two.
Now, obviously, DJ Tactics, The Way Right, that tune and your vocal on there just lifted that whole tune. Like, what? How did that come about, that tune?
Listen, that's another one. I'm going in... The Institute, yeah, to that club, we're playing, we're rushing, we're a bit late, rushing. Some fellas touched me on my shoulder, I was going through the crowd, they go, Mad B, that's you, you know, that's you. I goes, what are you talking about? He goes, listen, and I heard the tune. I was, Ross, I go, Jay, you hear that? I've done my sourcing research, boom, boom, find the people. They looked after me. We're friends now. They did look after me back then. I got to give me a good money for my voice. You know what I mean? And I'm gonna, I suppose, to link him up again. Andy Whitehead is that yeah, proper name? Andy Whitehead, you know him?
Okay. No.
Yeah, we made that. Yeah. For Birmingham, Wolverhampton side, them kind of side. You get what I'm saying? Yeah, I was able to link him and to do something else. You know what I mean? I actually met him after all these years. I didn't meet him until last year. I think it was last year or this year. Last year, I met him.
That's mad, mate.
Mad. That's a big tune. And then you got Groove Rider with his own version. You get what I'm saying? He's got a dub player, that one.
Of course,
with my voice. Right. With my voice, yeah. Hey, he's got a dub player. I was shocked when he played that on me as well. On his 54th birthday party when we went in ministry. He dropped that. I never know about this. That shocked me, man. Yeah. My heroes. Oh. Nice, and Fabio, they're my heroes.
Well, speaking of some of those guys, so one of the other guys I contacted was Ray Keith.
And, yeah, so
he 100. Got back to me, said, got so much love for the Buzz. And he said, he used to have great times with you back at Ealing Broadway.
Ealing Broadway.
So, tell me about those times.
Us and Ray and stuff, we started getting prominent about the same time on the scene, you get what I'm saying? And Rats and Matthew B's, and you know, we was like in one sort of little clique. I think I might have been just before Rap and Ray, but like they came while we were getting our name as well. So we hooked up, we just hooked up with Ray and everything. You get what I'm saying? He was the right person, and we just become friends ever since. And I love him to the bone. You know, I've got enough time for Ray. He looked after us everywhere, man. He's looking after me now. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Looking after me now, so you know what I mean. He's good.
Yeah,
do it. He's good.
So listen, I wanna leap forward a few years. I know that there's a lot that we could talk about, but I know we're conscious of time. I want to talk to you about the things that are going on now, and I want to kick it off initially with Riverdance. Because that is your home, and I know that you saw that clip that Ruben brought up.
I just saw it, man. Jay, I just saw it this evening, and late, you know. I just saw it. I thought, did I really say that? Did I shout out Captain like that? Wow, it wasn't a good day that day for me mentally. Yeah,
he didn't take that.
He took it in jest, man. He knew I was edible up. You know what I mean?
So to explain to those that haven't seen it, so basically, Riverdance last year, 2nd of October 2022, after being at the year before for me, attending just as a raver and having a bit of fun. You know, I'd heard so many good things, and I just was on Ruben's case. I was like, listen, I want to come out. I want in. And before I'd even asked him, I bought a ticket and went to the event first. I went, I'm not just going to email him cold. I want to support. Ooh. I want to be along anyway. Ooh. So I was nervous about doing that gig, like doing vinyl only gigs. You know, you never know, like whether the needles are gonna be shit or whatever. Mm. Then you add in on top of that, it's on top of a boat, something that's moving.
On top of that,
I knew that you was gonna be emceeing at some point for me, right? And that, as a little childhood dream, was a fucking tick, right? That was a big tick. Like, that is, that was the bit I was probably the most nervous about. So I didn't even hear that. All I was thinking was just hold the record, just wait for him to say your name.
And drop in, you know what I mean? So I didn't realize I said that, man. And he played it as well, so I can't deny it. he played the clip. I can't believe I said that one. It was not a good night.
I'm gonna get people. So I put it up on my YouTube. I actually put it on there, my set before we went live, the hour before. It's all on my podcast. So it's in the first 2 minutes. Go and check it out. It's a good little comedy moment.
Comedy moment, man.
But I want to talk about Riverdance. You know, to me, you know, it is the epitome of everything that is right about keeping this scene alive. It's not about bashing the same 50 anthems. It's about digging deep. It's about the culture. It's about bringing, you know, new talent, old talent, unknown talent. You know, everyone's got a passion for that into one space. And it feels like, you know, you've really connected to that. So I'd love to hear your Riverdance story.
Well, my Riverdance story is I'm at home one day. I've seen this flyer come up, Riverdance. I looked on the flyer. I see certain DJs in it. I know one of them all, basically. I was like, this looks interesting. Because boat dance is all right. I don't mind boat dance. So I contacted Vinyl, innit? Junkie. Certainly Vinyl Junkie. Yeah, Vinyl Junkie.
Yeah.
I said, Vinyl, see if you can get me a guest list. Vinyl's come back and said, Pat, he says, you can have a guest list, but if you do a bit of the mic. I've done a set on the mic and thing. You know what I mean? That's how I got introduced out into thing. When I went there, it was amazing. I thought, this is really good. You know what I mean? Yeah. I liked it. It was like, it was a bit hardcore-ish. It was a different style them times as well when I went there, the music-wise, you get what I'm saying? And boom, I've done the job, everything. Had fun with the people and everything. Next year, I'm taking my missus. So I bought two tickets. Got the two tickets. We went. And then I think the next year again, we bought two tickets, me and my missus went again. And then that time, Ruben approached me and said, Pat, we'd like to invite you to the family. Because I was still going down there buying tickets and I was still getting on the mic, doing a bit.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Because
I actually felt sorry for our mate this trip. You get what I'm saying? I felt, as an MC, I felt sorry for him because he was doing 7 hours, bro.
Yeah, long time.
He needed help. As an MC, I know he needs help. He can't be doing that. It's wrong. You get what I'm saying? So, that's how I got brought in on my full appearance down there. You know what I mean? And I started bringing a few friends and everything. And it was like, and then the music kind of changed to like what it is now, what you heard the other day, the last couple of years. You get what I'm saying? The dark stuff and where people are digging in their record boxes, mate. I call it, that crowd, I call the connoisseurs of rave.
Yeah.
I call them, they know their music. Any DJ will tell you that they come there. They say, you've got to dig when you play Riverdance or you get mullered.
You know what? I already knew that, and it was probably one of the highest pressure sets for me to put together because I knew that I had to come good, right?
Mm.
And what absolutely blew me away is within seconds of starting to mix a tune, someone's running over, and I've got to shout out Grace G Magical. She was there most of the time. She's like,
Grace doesn't move from that corner. You see where she stands? She don't move from there every year. That's her spot. And a tune lick her, she slides over. There's a lot of train spotters on thing. Jacob Barnes, you know what I mean? The next one is the original snooper. You know what I mean? They want to know the tunes, and if they don't know it, they want to know it. You get what I'm saying? The connoisseurs of rave, man. Yeah. Everybody, Randall, they all come there and dig. I've seen DJs dig. I've seen DJs fret. DJ Kid, he'll tell you in his podcast he's done for Riverdance how he was apprehensive and he didn't know what to, you know, what is he going to play? And, you know, he's thought about it so many times. He's, you know, I mean, the poor fella doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke, so he's got nothing to calm him down. And he went on there and he blew the place open, mate. And the wicked set. He blew the place open. You know what I mean? You know, I had the pleasure of he come and pick us up. You know, he come and had breakfast with me and my crew before we took him up to Riverdance. You know what I mean? Yeah, man, you've got Riverdance, you have to perform. It's not no idiot thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not an idiot thing. People have to play tunes. And we don't want classics. We don't want none of that. We don't want none of that. We want serious raves, man. Serious raves. It's going to be good this year. It's going to be good. Right? You know what I mean?
As it is every year, right?
It's going to be good. 100%.
Listen, before we wrap this up, I want to talk to you about food.
Who?
Tell me about food. You're a chef.
Food. I'm always trying to say someone's name. Food. Come on, man.
This blew me away. Like when I first, I can't remember how I found out you were in the kitchen doing videos, and I was like, what, you know, I'm used to seeing you up on stages, and I love the fact that you have, to me, it seems like you've got an insane passion for like food. And again, you know, I'd love to hear your story behind that.
That come out that if, you know, when I was a kid, I wanted to have a restaurant. I thought like 17, 18, and I didn't push towards it. You know what I mean? I didn't start sort myself. But one day later on in life, I was in the doctors and I was reading the paper. And there's a trainee chef, blah, 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 come and learn to be a chef. I thought I'd give this a go. I ended up being with heard of a woman called Prue Lee.
Okay.
Great British Bake Off and all that stuff. Yeah. And she's a judge on MasterChef and all them stuff. With the glasses and all that. Yeah. I ended up going to her academy. It was her academy. It was government run, but it's her academy. You know what I mean? And I thought, wow. And we was getting paid as we worked. That was even better. So I went and done my college work and everything and signed up, boom. And I just fell in love with it. Because I've gone to fine dining. I ain't got no burger thing down the corner. I've gone straight to fine dining. Because that's where we was learning at Hoxton. Yes. So yeah. I thought, well, I like this. I can do my own food. You know what I mean? But now let me learn the other side of food. You get what I'm saying? And I just picked it up. I've cooked for the Queen, I cooked for Gordon Brown, I cooked for Theresa May, I cooked for Donald Trump. You know what I mean? I'm a good chef.
Jesus, you know I mean?
I got dragged out of my ass to come and cook for Donald Trump. Well, being part of the team, not directly me, part of a team. You get what I'm saying? Which is good. You know what I mean? Yeah, I cooked for all of them people, man. All of them.
That's they've eaten mad, from me. Mate.
You know what I mean?
I heard you make a mean cake as well, mate.
Yeah, man, I can bake. I pick up the baking at the same time. You know what I mean? I pick up the baking, learn and YouTube and, you know what I mean? I've got an amazing vegan rum cake. If I don't sell 30 of them at Christmas, I'll be lying. You know what I mean? I'll be lying. I'll sell them in the year as well. You know what I mean? I went for my birthday thing the other day. I bought 4 for the boys. And they were, when I'm happy as Larry. I bought mate, 4 I of them with me. The cakes are good. My cakes, I can cook good.
Yeah.
I bring cakes to raves for the last 5 years.
That's
people
mad,
order
mate.
Off me and they meet me at the clubs and outside and whatever and I'll come and get it afterwards. You know, it's in the car. You get what I'm saying? I bring cakes everywhere. I sell my cakes everywhere. Everywhere, man. No? Everywhere. I love cooking, Jay.
That's amazing, mate. So what's next for Mad P? What's on the agenda?
All right. I'll just tell everybody now while I'm here. Look, my biggest agenda right now, the number one concern, is to get my book done. Our book done. Not my book. Our Top Buzz book done. That is a be and an end all of me right now. I'm the last one. I don't, God forbid, nothing happens to me. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And saying, but I need to get it down. You get what I'm saying? In case anything does happen to me, I don't know. Life is funny. Who knows? You know, I'm not here, then who's going to write it?
That's true, mate.
That is my number one priority. It comes before bookings. I haven't been getting a lot of bookings, but like, it comes before all of that. You know what I mean? That I can live with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I need to get my book done.
I remember when I spoke to Jason last year about him telling about there was a load of footage as well.
Yeah.
He was talking about the book and then he was talking about the footage and saying, listen, there's loads of stuff. There's
loads
of footage,
man. They've been released, man. Uh-huh. I put out a little one the other day, a couple of months ago, when I was water skiing in Australia. First time I got up on the skis, I went around the lake, all the way around on it. You get what I'm saying? All things like that. People have never seen us like that. You know what I mean?
That's nice, man.
That's my main concern, Jay, the book, seriously, above everything else. You know what I mean?
Are you working with someone on that book right now?
I'm working with Black Dog, the book company.
Okay.
It's a proper company. You know what I mean? You get what I'm saying? They do these things. You know what I mean? Get back to us, you know what I mean? But that is my main concern, the book.
Nice, mate.
I want to leave something for my kids as well, you get what I'm saying? So they can
Yeah.
I mean,
you know, it's a huge legacy, right?
It'd be a waste if it don't get written about.
It'd be a waste.
Yeah. There's so much to tell.
Yeah. Well, look, mate, I'm really appreciative of your time, and I'm glad that we've been able to share some of those stories, right? Mm-hmm. And I wish you the best of luck with the book, because I'm telling you now, as soon as that comes out, I'm straight in for that.
Straight on it, mate. Yeah, there's no skinning up, man. You know what I mean? There's no watering down, mate. It's like, it is what it is, mate. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's all good. Anyway, thank everybody for listening in, man. Nice.
Will do,
nice for your comments and everything, yeah? I enjoyed it.
You take care, man. We'll catch you soon. All right, then.
Bless up, Jay. Thank you, mate.
Later.
All right.
Take it easy.
Take it easy.
Bye.
Bye-bye.